Chapter 6. Monday. TJ Maxx. Many people still think that TJ Maxx is an outlet for last season's designer clothes bought in bulk. The same people still think IKEA is there to sell flat pack furniture and Home Depot's primary interest is DIY. They're not, and never were. And after the 2004 scandal regarding the SpecOps involvement with Lidl and Aldi, their position within the retail landscape might be slightly more precarious. Millen de Floss, A Longer History of SpecOps. I walked through the Brunel Centre, feeling a sense of disappointment, mixed with the realisation that until my health improved, things were going to be very different. I couldn't do what I wanted to do, which led me to the inevitable conclusion that I couldn't be who I wanted to be. My purpose was suddenly blunted, and I didn't like it. I arrived at the Swindon branch of TJ Maxx at a little after 2. I knew as well as anyone that the store hadn't been deliberately set up as a bargain store for end-of-line designer garments, but rather as a high-security facility for the imprisonment of dangerous criminals. Swindon's most celebrated convict had been Oswald Danforth, whose punishment was to be trapped in an endlessly recurring 8-minute loop of time. In his case, while his girlfriend Trudy tried on a camisole. She never knew about the loop, of course, but Danforth did. That's why it was called TJ Maxx, Temporal J, Maximum Security. It had been run by the Chrono Guard. The official title was Closed Loop Temporal Field Containment, but SO12 simply called it Being in the Loop. It was cruel and unusual, sure, but it was cheap and required no guards, food or health care. Or at least it had. There were no prisoners now, not since the Chrono Guard was disbanded and all its technology decommissioned. I found Landon staring at the frying pans on the second floor, wondering, as he usually did, whether they were more expensive than at the co-op, and, if so, what the point was of selling them. "Hey," I said.
"Hey,"
he replied, putting back a cheese grater before adding,
"No cookies at the hunt, sir."
"What?"
"The password."
"Oh, it's not a cookie, it's a... shit, hang on." As I stood there trying to remember the last word, I saw Landon's hand move to his pocket. Not usually an issue, only I knew he kept a COP357 there, a small pistol that packed enough power to punch holes in, well, almost anything. "Newton," I said with a stupid smile. "It's a Newton. It's not a cookie, it's a Newton." Landon breathed a sigh of relief and took his hand out of his pocket.
"Don't do that," he said. "Just makes me jumpy."
"Sorry."
"How did it go?"
"Pretty shittily." I told Landon all about Braxton's offer and how Phoebe Smalls would be heading up the literary detective's office and how I felt that everything was just falling down around my ears because of the blasted accident. I may even have mentioned something about unfairness or a waste of good experience. Before I had gone on to a level 2 rant at that point, the sort where you raise your voice in public and sound like an idiot, but without realizing it. I paused at the end, expecting him to agree. But he didn't. He simply stared at me with an expression of benign conciliation. "Look," I said, "I'm kind of looking for agreement here." He took a deep breath.
"Listen, Thursday. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your husband, lover, best friend, confidant, back rubber, bridge partner. You've even got one of my kidneys. I have invested in Thursday Futures my entire life, and not regretted it for one moment. I'm the last person to stand in the way of anything you want to do, and would follow you anywhere. But even I think you should be taking it easy. They damn near killed you, and, well, I think you've done enough for the moment. You deserve some downtime. We all deserve some downtime. A change of pace."
Landon had been on at me since I turned 50 to slow down. The accident had made it easier for him. Before, he was a man in love. Now he was a man with a mission to protect the one he loved. And he was making it hard to ignore him. But I tried, nonetheless. "What are we here for, anyway?" I asked. None of us shop at TJ Maxx.
Aeonis Hades, he said. We need to find her.
Any particular reason?
Because SO5 has failed, and finding Aeonis is the only way to get rid of the mindworm.
What mindworm?
The one she gave to someone we know.
Have we talked about it?
Often. That's part of the mindworm.
Oh. I followed Landon to the manager's office. The assistant manager rose to shake our hands. He was an earnest, helpful young man, part of the retail industry's fast-track scheme to have people at a regional sales level in as little as 26 years. He said his name was Jimmy G, and that he'd read our request and was keen to help. We explained to him that we wanted to see the security camera footage for the day that Aeonis was released, and he said he had to clear that with the head office, so he went out of the room to make the call. So, let's suppose I slowed down, I said to Landon. What would I do?
As Braxton suggests, become chief librarian.
Aside from that?
You could start a restaurant. You do really good Sunday roasts.
A restaurant that only opens one day a week is destined to fail, I pointed out.
Then that's our unique selling point. Sunday lunches on weekdays.
You've got it all planned out, haven't you?
No, I'm making it up as I go along.
A restaurateur?
Okay, maybe not, but your career path has been heading in only one direction for a while now, and biggest fan or not, I don't want to lose you.
And I don't want to be lost.
Then tell Braxton you've changed your mind, that you'll take the job.
And at that moment, the assistant manager walked back in.
That's all cleared with the head office, he said with a smile. If it were anyone but you, Detective, next, we'd not entertain the idea. In fact, helping you now makes me feel like what I should be doing. I received my letter of destiny last week. I would have been running all the enloopment facilities for SO12 after I was retired from field duty when a jump to the 16th century dumped me in the 45th due to a gimbal lock precision error on the flux gates.
What does that mean?
I've absolutely no idea. I didn't get the Chrono Guard career. I got the retailing one. Ask me about monthly sales figures, dismissal procedures and weekend comparison stats, and I'm your man. This way.
He led us through to the security office, which was of larger than normal size. On the main console were several smaller monitors that surrounded a central larger one, and they all looked a bit dusty. In fact, the whole room looked very disused, and several cardboard boxes of wire hangers and security tags were lying on the floor.
No one has used this place since they switched off the enloopment engines 2 years ago, said Jimmy G. Before my time, I might add.
After the facility was shut down, the prisoners had been transferred to conventional prisons. But Aeonis Hades was different. With a rap sheet that included extortion, blackmail, thought crimes, theft, torture, and murder, she had her sentence commuted to quadruple life with added life. She was transferred out, but that was the last anyone heard from her. Where she was transferred to, who had transferred her, and whether she ever got there was anyone's guess. It was why looping was so perfect for her. No one to memory manipulate. The assistant manager threw several switches, and after a wait of several minutes for the valves to warm up, the central monitor sprang into life. Jimmy G punched in the date and rough time, and a broad image of the shop's interior appeared.
Here, said Jimmy G. It's easier if you do it. If you want to change cameras, use this switch. To shuttle back and forth, it's this knob here.
We found her by the checkout, a well-dressed young lady with a sour expression and her features partially hidden beneath a large floppy hat. It was definitely her, though. The Hades chin and nose were unmistakable. On either side of her were two prison guards, the first of whom was holding Aeonis by the arm, and the second of whom was holding a clipboard. "Can you get his badge?" I asked, and Landon zoomed in further.
"Quinn," he said, as I scribbled it down on a notepad. "And the second is Highsmith."
"Anything else?"
"Wait,"
said Landon, zooming and shifting so he could read the clipboard that was tucked under Highsmith's arm.
"It looks like Tesco,"
muttered Landon, staring at the indistinct lettering.
That can't be right.
Aornis liked shopping.
In Abercrombie and Fitch, she did, said Landon, not Tesco's.
I can give you a hard copy, said Jimmy G, and he printed one, which was just the same, hazy and indistinct, but this time on paper instead of a screen. We searched some more, but the only other picture of Aornis and the two guards was as they were leaving the facility 2 minutes later. We stood up and thanked the assistant manager as we walked out.
Glad to be of help, he said,
shaking our hands and giving us some discount vouchers.
Tell your son that Jimmy G would have been proud working under him. If I had, which I won't.
You would have known him, I asked, intrigued that I'd met two people in one day who were ex-potential chronoguard.
Yes, he helped me find a new job when the service wanted to retire me after my accident. He would have been a good friend.
Will you ask him if he wants to come to my Destiny Aware Support Group meeting tomorrow? I'm setting it up for ex-potential chronoguard who have received their life summaries, and Friday would be very welcome. We need guidance, and he would have been there for us time and time again, and might again, for the first time, you know. Anyway, it's at the sports centre at 8.
I don't think he'll want to come.
If he's anything like the person I'm told he might have turned out to be, he'd say no, but come anyway.
I agree. I'll tell him.
We walked out of TJ Maxx and sat on a bench to compare notes. Quinn and Highsmith, I said. We can get Millen to look them up.
They were travelling by car, said Landon,
staring at several other images that Jimmy G had printed out.
Those are car keys and that's a road atlas.
So not local. Are you sure it says Tesco's?
You have a look, clever clogs.
You know my vision is mildly blurred.
That's not my fault.
Well, it's certainly not mine. Am I interrupting something?
It was Phoebe Smalls.
Nothing at all, I said. Phoebe Smalls, this is my husband, Landon. Landon, meet the new head of SO27.
You seem quite young, said Landon.
It's due to my age, said Phoebe, and Landon laughed and I glared at him.
What do you think that says?
Said Landon, handing the picture to Phoebe before I could stop him. I glared at him again. And he mouthed,
What?
Tresco, said Phoebe, handing the picture back. The prison island off the coast of Cornwall. That's my guess.
That's exactly what we thought, I said hurriedly, but always best to get a second opinion.
Oh, said Phoebe.
Congratulations on your appointment to SO27, said Landon. We just heard. Who are you considering as your second in command?
I looked at him. He was using his I'm so really up to something, voice.
Landon?
That's exactly why I'm here, said Phoebe. Earlier, you generously asked me to work with you, and I thought I would return the compliment. I want you to be my deputy at SO27 Thursday, my number two, my rock. What do you say?
That's a very kind offer, I said, and although Spec Ops is in my blood and I would dearly love to accept, I've just accepted the job of chief librarian from Braxton.
Ah, she said. Now that's a shame.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I rose from the bench with considerably less elegance than I had hoped.
Good luck with the job, I told her. I'll expect our paths will cross pretty soon.
I'll look forward to it.
We exchanged farewells and walked off. I didn't speak until we were heading back toward Clary Lamar.
I hate that Phoebe Smalls.
Don't be so cross, Thursday, said Landon, stifling a smile. She seemed rather nice, kind of like you.
She's nothing like me.
But she was, of course, just younger. Once we were back in the Skyrail car heading home, Landon passed me his cell phone, and I called Braxton to accept the chief librarian job.
Bollocks, I said, as soon as I had snapped the phone shut. Now what?
The Tesco-Tresco thing. Before my accident, I would have made that connection instantly. I used to be sharper.
It's the Disopyridol. I said you should stick to just three patches.
I know. I hate the stuff. But without it, I can barely function.
Landon laid his hand affectionately on my thigh, and I let my head fall onto his shoulder. We sat like that for several minutes. I wasn't going to tell him I had upped my patch dosage to 4. Landon?
Yes?
Aeornis gave the mindworm to me, didn't she?
Yes,
said Landon quietly.
Damaging, annoying, and potentially destructive of personality and family. And since those memories are as much a part of her as you, there's only one way we're going to be able to get rid of them.
He patted the pocket where I knew he kept his pistol.
We're going to deal with the Aeornis situation once and for all.
I looked into Landon's eyes for a long time. He was deadly serious. Is the book world the mindworm?
No, that's real enough.
The whole Granny Next thing?
No.
I'm not me at all, but someone else?
No.
Then what?
Look at your hand.
So I did, and I was confused and angry, and not for the first time today, apparently.